U.S. Geological Survey field crews are measuring record flooding in parts of southeastern South Dakota. USGS scientist Nathan Stevens joins us now with a look at science that assists in the critical response from emergency responders and resource managers. Nathan Stevens, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the USGS role during an event like this when the flooding is really sort of underway.
We're busy making flow measurements for the Missouri River Basin Forecast Center so that they can let folks know what to expect as far as peaks, when the peaks are going to occur and at what magnitude. So as we're making the measurements, we're emailing all that information into there and, of course, putting it on our own webpage.
Give us an idea of how that science happens. Is that something that a field crew is out doing? Is it, through things that are already in place to measure those from a electronic standpoint? Give us an idea of what it looks like.
All the measurements are made by field crews. So it's boots on the ground, folks running around measuring right there at that location each and every time. Once we know that the ice is clear from the channels, the electronics at the stations generally take over, and we can trust our rating discharge relationships at that point. But until the ice is out of the system, it's definitely got to have eyes and boots out there in the field chasing this water around.
All right. Tell me a little bit about how that's actually done, because some of these places are impassable or challenging. There's high risk situations here with debris in the water, and give us an idea of how it's happening.
Sometimes when the flows are extremely high and the velocities are high, we're using a small lawn tractors with big counterweights to put our weights down into the river to actually measure the velocity and get depths per area. Other tools we're using are acoustics. Those are generally a lot quicker, a lot safer, because we're on the water and off a lot quicker. Sometimes we just can't get anything other than to making sure our stream gauging stations are actually working. The electronics are not drifted, have not drifted for whatever reasons, or the ice has torn our equipment out of the water itself. It's very hazardous a lot of times, especially when there's road overflow. We have to take boats and go through that road overflow with boats. And once again, if there's ice debris, tree debris, it makes it extremely difficult and dangerous. And
can you give us an idea of what you're seeing, from specific areas? What is it looking like out there?
Well, currently, most of the debris and ice flows from Brookings South have cleared up, so it's just open water now. Around the Huron area, there's still some ice hanging in the James River Valley, in the rivers. Most everything up north of Huron is still locked up solid in ice. The Watertown country is kind of breaking up a little bit. Flows are starting to increase. I believe they got a ways to go, but a lot of ice in the system yet. I have crews right now up on the Moreau River near Whitehorse. That's going to be a very intense measurement. I'm not sure what they're finding for debris flows, but lots of road overflow. Dangerous place to be at the moment. The other scientist I'm with today, Mark Brazones, we were just on the boat, in the boat on the Missouri River, and then floated up the White River. That was all the ice has gone out of that system, but still some chunks flowing and some trees rolling in the channels a little bit here and there too.
Mm. How long have you been doing this?
I've been working at this for 16 years now.
All right. So when you're on, you're at the White River and you're looking around, how does this compare to what you have seen in the past?
Not sure where all this water came from down here in the southern part in the White River Valley. Nobody was expecting these types of flows, but they've hit near or at peaks for periods of record in individual gauges.
Can you give me an example of something that you're seeing, when you're out there on the boat that It would put it into context for people on the radio listening to sort of put it in perspective that you see something and then you know, along with the measurements that you're taking, this is a significant event.
I guess compared, we're making measurements and we're calculating cubic feet per second. I guess what I've always thought was kind of neat was you can compare that to about the size of a basketball. So when we're in the boat and you're measuring that 52,000 cubic foot a second, I mean, that's like 52,000 basketballs rolling past you every second. Not quite sure how else to put it, but it's pretty cool. But yeah. On the other hand, it's you really got to have your A game on just to avoid these dangerous things and the eddies that we run into and the boiling water coming out of culverts during the road overflows, and just the debris is extremely dangerous. So you really have to have eyes in the back of your head.
Yeah, and this is a good time to remind people that these areas that the U.S. Geological Survey is measuring are off limits for the rest of us, and this is not something you want to go out and be trying to sort of see. These are professional scientists, doing this work. Again, how quickly are you able to get that that information, and how is that information used then? You know, with the National Weather Service or the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, you know, talk a little bit about those collaborations.
Most of our technicians are running around in the field, and they're carrying hotspots with them so they can upload all their measurements virtually real time and get that information out to the world. And then they're relaying those to the supervisors and the officers who are then inputting that data in the and sending that to the National Weather Service and the flood forecasters and the other cooperators that are interested in or just needing that information quickly.
Do you anticipate a lot of a sort of damage to some of that, that equipment that's been in some of these areas that will need to be evaluated and replaced? What's your sense of that right now?
Well, earlier, it was just hard to tell when the peak flows were coming through. You really can't see a whole lot what's going on just yet. But, of course, there's going to be some damage. To what extent is yet to be determined.
Yeah. Anything else, Nathan, that I should be asking here about this process for USGS scientists in the area, sort of measuring that flooding and taking those data measurements and sending them off to first responders and resource coordinators? Any other thoughts that you want to share with people?
I think we covered everything.
All right. Well, be safe out there then, because I'm a little worried about you, and I wasn't before, now that I know more about exactly what you and your crew are going through.
Just don't follow me in behind the barricades.
I will not follow you behind the barricades. I wouldn't even think of it. Thanks so much, Nate. We appreciate your time.
Have a great day.